Hallelujah. It's all about his presence. Why do we come here? To be in his presence. Right where you stand, let's just have a moment of quietness. Just lock yourself in right now. Hallelujah. Don't worry about nobody on the side or the back or the front of you. Just hear God. Oh God, speak to your people. Speak to your people. Let your presence become overwhelming, Father. Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give your people the answers that they're looking for, Father. Yes, Lord. Work out situations that have become difficult for them, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, let them know, assure them, Father, that you'll provide the resources that they need to carry out your plan, Father. Right now, let your presence, Lord God, be felt here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh God, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh God, surround us, Lord God, with your presence. Assure us, Lord God, that everything is fine. Right now, Lord God, meet us. Meet us, Lord God. We come, Lord God, to be in your presence with our sisters and brothers. Oh God, let your presence be overwhelming here today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah for your songs and your words. We thank you for the presence of our brothers and sisters here today. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, and your angels, Lord, that you've dispatched to be with us today. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord God. Hallelujah, to walk through those doors and to be with you for a short period of time today. We thank you. Father, we don't take you for granted, Lord God. Hallelujah. We know that you exist, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we totally surrender all to you. And we just simply say, have your way today, Lord God. Have your way today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I do think we take God for granted. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we take worship service for granted. We come in to be in the presence of God with our brothers and sisters. We come to not only to give, but to get whatever it is that God would have us to receive. This is a gathering place. You know, been sharing the last couple of years just my revelation of the fact that, listen, you're not here by accident. When I say here, I mean on planet Earth. You're not here. God had a plan even before you were in your mother's wombs. Our problem is that we don't really begin to see the plan until we totally surrender to God. We may think we do, but we really don't. But once we surrender to God, then one of the things that we do, according to the scriptures, we gather ourselves together on the first day of the week, which is our Sunday. And we give glory to God. We give honor to God. We expect his presence. We expect his directions. We expect his direction. Let me just say that again. We expect his directions when we come on Sunday. It's like God gathering a portion of his family. This is not all his family, but like he's gathering a portion of his family and say, all right, I'm going to tell you what to do next. I'm going to quieten you down so that you can hear the voice of God. Sometimes we just get so busy. Most of the time we get so busy, we just can't hear that voice. So that's why we're here. It's okay to have a good time, whatever that means to you, when you go into the house of the Lord. It's okay. It's really okay. But we come to get directions from God. We come to get confirmation that we're moving in the right direction. God is just a good God all the time. Amen? Amen. How many of you are saved here today? Raise your hand. Amen. Every now and then, I just got to make sure. Amen. that I'm in the right place at the right time. We're in a house full of people that have given their life to Jesus Christ. I hope that makes sense to you by now, what your decision means. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a good person. It means that you have surrendered to Jesus Christ. It means that you've allowed Jesus Christ to come in and replace your old spirit with a new spirit, a powerful spirit. It means that now you have the power of God living inside of you. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
That is good news. When I got before the Lord and said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to share with the people here for a few weeks? He said, start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I was thinking about this message here today, and I'm saying the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, you know, everybody know about the gifts of the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit said, oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. If you can imagine with me just for a moment, just approaching a 10-year-old child in America, and you ask that 10-year-old child, say, okay, I want you to tell me what 5 + 5 is. And that child get to counting. And that's not too far from what we're dealing with today. But that child get to counting on their finger. Now, this is a 10-year-old child. This means this child has probably been in school at a minimum of 5 years. And you say, well, wait a minute, what's wrong with you? You can't tell me what 5 + 5 is? What you've been doing for 5 years other than eating that lunch? What? What you've been doing? And it's the same way with us as believers. You know, certain things that God just expects us to have received a revelation about up to this period of time. Now, just like that 10-year-old child I talked about, if all that child's been doing is eating their lunch, they missed a lot. It's the same way with us. If you've been maybe been saved 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, but all you've been doing is eating your lunch, then you've probably missed a lot of stuff.
Amen.
As you look back on the book of Acts, and you read and you study on the book of Acts is all about what's happening in the first church. The very first church, after Jesus ascended up and went on back to heaven, then the very first church was initiated, was activated. And that's what Acts is all about. It's like a history book of what they did. But it seemed like we've gotten so far away from the reality that we saw in the book of Acts now. Now, for the most part, probably the thing that we do more often than not is go to church. But if you open up the book of Acts, starting from chapter 1, verse 1, you just see Christians who have given their lives at the expense of being ostracized by their community. And now, listen, they're taking a stand, and now you see them doing all kinds of stuff. They're healing the blind, come on now, raising the dead, feeding the hungry. They're just doing all kinds of miracles, and all kinds of gifts are being operated through them. But nowadays, if somebody comes through the church with a gift, you know, we don't want to let that person go. We want that person to stay here. You know, no, come on. When actuality, God expected all of us to be moving in these gifts.
Amen.
Somebody say, help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
We're acting like that 10-year-old boy that's got to count on his fingers because he really don't know basic math. This is a year of new beginning, and God said, I want to start beginning something new in you this year. I want a power to rise up in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like never, ever before. I want something to start materializing in your life that's different on a spiritual note. And I hope you're ready for it this morning. I hope you're ready for it this year because it's coming. Look at somebody and say, it's coming.
It's coming.
God said, begin to remind them of the gifts of the Spirit. Because, hallelujah, I believe pretty soon now you're going to start seeing those gifts operate, hallelujah, so frequently that you're going to be saying, why we miss all this stuff? And it won't be your pastor that's doing this. These gifts are going to start manifesting through you. Somebody say, use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
And that was a weak one. Hallelujah. 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 Most of us scared of dead people, let alone willing to raise them up. But these things are going to start materializing. See, the reason why we haven't seen them is not because God don't want them to materialize or manifest through us. It's just our mindset. Our whole mindset is that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen through somebody else. It's not going to happen through me. Well, today I just want to get into this a little bit and just do a basic introduction of the gifts of the Spirit. God said, just take my time and just take a few weeks and just deal with this thing. There's about 9 of them, I think, that's mentioned here in the book, in the New Testament. And if it takes us 9 weeks, we're going to do that. God said, hallelujah. This is not about educating you. This is about activating you.
Amen.
Are you with me? It's about activating you. Activating you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is a good God all the time. You know, listen, I remember one incident that happened to me. It threw me off. I'm telling you, so much. I think we were doing something. I don't know if it was the scouts or something. This has been a good 30 years or so ago. We were over at an old church, and we were with a group of kids. I think it was the scouts. It was the Boy Scouts. Remember that? And it came down to feeding them and giving them a snack or whatever. So give them some. You remember that story, don't you? And we had to give them something to drink, and we had a couple of bottles of juice or whatever. And all of a sudden, there were more kids there than we had anticipated. There, I don't know how many kids there were. I'm not gonna start lying about it, but it was a bunch of kids there. And then what we had this limited food, when we was in the kitchen and we were just pouring the stuff, and I just told the guy, I said, well, look, just go on and feed. He said, how many should we feed? I said, feed them all. And he just started pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And what it would have looked like, we had enough resources for about maybe 10 kids. I'm sure that number would multiply at least 3 or 4 times.
Amen.
And so after this thing was over, I asked the guy, I said, well, where you get all this extra stuff? He said, I don't know. He said, I just kept pouring. And we didn't realize, you know, see, we expect these things to happen through somebody with a big title. I saw some hands grow up there a minute ago that says I'm a Christian. I want you to know that's a big title. But we were all amazed that day because we were asking everybody, say, no, you had some more stuff somewhere. And the guys that were preparing said, no, that's all we had. We just kept fixing and we just kept pouring and everybody got plenty, and we still got some left. Now, you know, I didn't think a whole bunch about it, but we talked about that for a little while, because we're not used to those miracles happening, not through us. You know, if it happened through an evangelist, or if it happened through a bishop, or if it happens through an apostle or whoever, somebody with a big name, then we will understand it, but not through us. God said, yes, through you. Through you. Through you. God is a good God all the time, folks. But we need to open our eyes. We need to get into that word and let that word saturate us. Just saturate us. You know, one of the things I did this week, you know, I tell you, I was watching a little bit of YouTube and doing some things. God said, come on. Let's go on to the next level here with this thing. Because we all know that's all pastors do. That's all they do, right? Sit and read the Bible, right? 24 hours a day, at least 20 hours a day, right? But what I started doing, You know, I've got an app on my iPad and on my phone, one of the Bible apps that's an audio Bible apps, but you can program it or just hit a button and it'll just repeat over again. You know, whether it's a chapter or whether it's a verse, it'll just repeat it. And God said, just go to this section of the Bible and just punch that button and let it just read this chapter over and over and over and over and over to you. See, most of the time when we read, I'm going to get to the message in a minute, but most of the time when we read, we just read and we just keep on going on to the next thing. But when I did that, something happened. Something happened. I had a revelation of that chapter like I'd never had before. Stuff just started exploding as to what things mean and what's going on in that chapter. And so I just kept doing it. And I want to encourage you to just give some thought to just doing that. You may not have the app. And nowadays, we're living in an electronic age. Everybody's got a phone. All you got to do is hit a button and download an app with a Bible and audio and stuff and get one that just will repeat for you. And you get that word in you, something happens. But I believe in the last 2,000 years, the difference between what we saw in the book of Acts and what we saw and what we see today, listen, the result of that comes from us not getting saturated with that word to the point where we're walking it and talking it and believing it and letting it operate in our lives. God says today he wants you to think about being transformed by becoming that butterfly that we talked about. God said today, he says after today, I want you to just yearn for not being a worm anymore and to turn into a butterfly. And the way you do that is to get into this word. And you'll not only start understanding it, but you'll start believing it. Believing it. What Mark 16:24, what does it say? What does it say in that word? It says, what does it say about that? I lost that verse that quick. What does it say? Go to Mark chapter 16 online. Hallelujah. And go to verse 24. And I'm going to tell you to back up. That's not the scripture I wanted. What verse talks about moving mountains? Let's go to there then. Mark 11:23. Hallelujah. I told you guys how old I am. Hallelujah. Go to Mark 11:23. So verily I say unto you, listen, look. We come to be elevated here. And I'm going to read it right off of this. It says, verily I say to you that whosoever, everybody say that's me. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's the biggest problem you got in your life, whatever that is. Whosoever shall say unto the biggest problem in their life, be you removed and be you cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. This is Jesus talking. That person shall have whatsoever he said. That's power, folks. Go to the next verse. Verse 24. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Let's stop right then and there. What is it you desire? What changes that you need to manifest in your life? You got some children that need to be saved? Hello? You got some health issues that need to be changed? You have some wealth issues that need to be changed? He says that, this is Jesus. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and what happened? That's power. That's power. But until you get to the point where you believe that, that's what it says. When you pray, believe. But I'm telling you, you're not going to believe it until you get saturated in the word. Whatever you believe, then you should have that. That's power. That's power. God never intended for the height of our experience with him to be a worship service on Sunday.
He never intended for that to be the height of our power or our experience with him. He expects things to happen through us. And what he does, listen to me now, what he does is he empowers us with certain gifts as we need them and as we need them to fulfill his plan. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he does. I told that story before about how when my last wife died in San Diego and I was away, and but something inside of me said, you go raise her up. Just go raise her up and take her out of the hospital. And the only reason I didn't, I knew. You ever had something that you knew that you knew that you knew? I knew that if I got there, she'd be a raised up person. But because of the circumstances, I could not get where she was. And the next day, that went away, the next day. But that let me know, listen, there's stuff inside of us that we're just not using. You ever hear the stories of these little old ladies that raise up a car off of somebody? The little old 90-pound lady? How she do that? You go try it in the natural. It doesn't work. God says it's time to stir up these gifts, and it starts by you believing. Amen. By believing that God wants to use you and operate these gifts through you at the appropriate time. You need to understand that. Let's just get into this word of God. This is just an introduction to this gift, to these gifts. And I want to just start off by saying lack of knowledge is a terrible thing. And that's what's happened in these last 2 years, that knowledge has decreased. Those folks back there in Acts chapter 1, in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 3, they knew who they were. Remember Acts chapter 3? The guy lame from birth? Couldn't walk, never walked before? What did Peter say? Peter said, look, I ain't got no money. Ain't no use you begging me. I ain't got none. I don't have no money. But what I do have, I'll give it to you. And then he said, look at me. And the man thought he was going to be in favor. You know, I'm going to look at you, and I know you're going to give me something. But Jesus said, look, Peter said, in the name of Jesus. Grab that man by the hand. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and what? Walk. Now, I know folks are saying, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? Well, if they could do it in Acts chapter 3, I'm sure it could be done now. Amen. Through you at the appropriate time. Amen? Amen? Now, you can't muster this stuff up at will, but you just need to know that when the opportunity comes, God wants to use these gifts through you, and he'll supply them. But if your mindset is that, no, he can't use me, I don't know enough. I haven't been to enough school. Hallelujah. I haven't been saved long enough. God said, none of that stuff matters. None of it matters. But what we're dealing with right now is a lack of knowledge. And that's a terrible thing. Let me take you to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea says, my people are destroyed for what?
Lack of knowledge.
Folks are dying early because lack of knowledge. Why? Because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, said God, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou forgotten the law of thy God. And I will also forget your children. I wonder what would happen if we lived our lives to be consumed with the word of God, to the point where we're walking in that word. We're talking that word. We're just experiencing, and we're believing that word. Life has just consumed us with busyness. And the things that's going to make a difference to you and to me and to those environments around us is really getting into that word, hallelujah, and starting believing it. So when the opportunity comes for those gifts to be operating through you, you will let them happen. You will let them happen. Like I said, most of us are scared of dead people. God maybe tell you to raise somebody up. Hello. And you say, no, go get a pastor. Go get a deacon, go get a minister, go get a janitor, go get somebody. We need to get to the point where when God wants to operate these gifts through us, that we're free enough to let that happen. Amen? Amen. Paul, he was inspired by the Spirit to write to the church. This is what he said. I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You see, if the Spirit of God through Paul said that he didn't want the church of Corinth to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, I certainly don't believe that he wants the church today to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. He wants us to know. He wants us to understand what's going on. He wants us to be prepared to allow those gifts to be used through us. And Paul was talking to the church back there. He said, look, I would not have you ignorant. Somebody's got to teach you. Amen. Somebody's got to teach you. In some places, Christians know nothing at all about these gifts of the Spirit. Not even that these gifts exist. As a matter of fact, we have Christian denominations that tell you, no, that's something old time. That's gone. That's gone. Wait a minute, it's the same God today as it was yesterday. Is he going to be tomorrow? How could it be gone? And then in other places, folks know that something, may know a little bit about those gifts, but their knowledge is very limited. God wants to empower you. God wants to enlighten you. Amen? Amen. God wants to do that. He wants to enlighten, hallelujah, he wants to enlighten you. He wants to enlighten you. You never know. Let me tell you something. You never know. You might be in Piggly Wiggly and somebody come and you meet them and they got a sad story. And then all of a sudden, God give you a word of knowledge. Information that they know that ain't no way in the world you should have known. All right? Say, why would God do that? God wants to do that to show himself through you so that he can draw that person to him. You say, well, I don't know. It ain't about you knowing. It's about these gifts operating in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so busy trying to be good. I understand that. God understands that. But we need to understand. Hallelujah. We can't be that good. Let's look at the initial scriptures that talk about these gifts. It's the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are not new. You've read them at least once, I'm sure of that. But God said now he wants you to pay attention. Amen. Look at somebody and say, please pay attention. He says, now, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away into those dumb idols that I thought about before they got saved. You know what you were doing before you got saved? Even as you were led, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called it Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. He's getting ready to tell you now. In verse 4, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit. We've divided this thing up. We've even divided this thing up in what we call denominations. This is so crazy. But that's what we're dealing with. Amen? But if God can change your mindset, you may not be able to change the environment that we live in, but if God can change your mindset, you'll start seeing other Christians differently. Amen. Differently. But here we talk about one Spirit. There's only one Spirit that's controlling all this stuff, like one body. One body. Wouldn't it be good? See, back when you read the book of Acts, what you see is the church at Ephesus. The church, one church. The church at Corinth. The church at wherever. But over the years, 2,000 years, what the devil has done, and number one, he's divided us, and he's diluted our power. And God said, I want to resurrect that in you. I want to resurrect it in you. And then verse 5 says, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, he gives the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. But all these, look at verse 11, but all these work it, that one and self same Spirit. There's only one Spirit. Dividing to every man severally, how? As he will, not as you will. You can't decide tomorrow you're going to have the gift of a word of wisdom. No. It's as God. Hallelujah. We need to wake up. We need to wake up, folks, as to what this thing is all about. See, we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, but then once he does, we want to make all the decisions. We want to make a decision about who we marry. Hello. We want to make a decision about, listen, we want to make a decision about what grocery store we shop at. We want to make a decision about what church we go to on a regular basis. We just want to make all the decisions. You say, no. Now you need to be led by this one Spirit now. Amen. That's why I tell you follow the peace, because I understand that. He says all these gifts come by the same Spirit. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Man, that's a powerful thing if you can just grab a hold of that last sentence here. Amen. Let me just read this again. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also it's Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean, preacher? To me, it means I'm a member. Listen to me now. It means I'm a member of a Hasse Christian Center. It means that I'm a member of New Baptist Church down the street. I'm a member of Calvary. I'm the member of Mercy Church over. Are you hearing me? Amen. There's one body. Amen. There's one body. There's one body. But the devil has diluted this thing. Come on. Because, listen, we want power. We want position. We want folks to look at us. There's one body. That's what he's trying to tell us. There's one body. You read Acts. You read where the people had everything in common. Those that had a whole bunch, they just come and bring it, put it at the apostle's feet, and they just distribute it to those people didn't have. Now you let us try that today. I ain't give you my stuff. Let them go find their own stuff. We've lost something. I'm not saying that we should do that, but I'm just saying we've lost something. And when it comes to these spiritual gifts, we've just let them drift away. And we account for them to operate through just certain people. God says, I never intended for that. I never. If you was able to raise your hand up earlier today, then God intended for some of these things to be operating through you. It's through you. But we've gotten to the place where if the pastor don't do it, it won't get done. Hey, I'm just like you. We just got to make ourselves ready. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Last verse, for the body is not one member, but many. Amen? Hallelujah. One. Can you just think for a moment? Listen, I know we're talking about spiritual gifts, but listen, if you think for a moment, listen, in this little area here, I'll tell you before, there's over 80 Christian churches, as we know churches, you know? I wonder what would happen if they were all on one accord. We're living in a situation where violence is running rapidly, and we got all these Christians, all these churches. We're living in an environment where this is a poverty belt of North Carolina. when we got all these churches. I'm saying, what's happening? What's happening is that we're not one. We're not one. We're not one. Are you with me? And folks are saying, come on over to my place. We got good singing. We got an anointed pastor. Come on over. We got to get away from that idea. There's only one. There's always, how many is there? One. There's one body. One body. It may be operating through different buildings, but it's one body. That means if, listen to me, that means if somebody, and I'm just grabbing a name, if somebody in Calvary, listen, that's saved, confessing the Lord Jesus, if they have a, listen, if they have a need and I can help them with something, you can help them with something, we need to be doing that. Amen. Let me leave that alone. Hallelujah. There's one body. Hallelujah. The epistle of 1 Corinthians is not a letter written to an individual. It's written to the whole church. The whole church. Some people have thought that these verses apply to just individuals, but Paul was telling the whole church to covet these gifts. You know what covet means? Covet means it's to strongly desire something, want it to happen, strongly desire something. God is waiting for us to get to the point where we say, God, use me. Use me. Use me at the appropriate time. Use me. Use, let these gifts operate through me. Let one of them operate through me at the appropriate time. Whatever. You've got to want that. But so many of us are just satisfied with showing up in some building on Sunday morning. Come on. Which is a good thing. But there's more. There's more. Folks need that, those gifts operating through you when you're outside these buildings. Amen. When somebody's sick, they need you to lay hands upon them and say, God, use me. Amen. To bring healing to these people. But instead, we'd be asking people, you sick? Yeah. Let me see if I can call my pastor. Come on now. There's nothing wrong with calling your pastor, but you're right there. You're just as saved as your pastor. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think people think pastors, preachers, evangelists are more saved than they are. That's not true. It's not true. God wants to use you. You're never going to be the same again, I'm going to tell you. Amen. You're just never going to be it. Not at all. Then as the whole body starts coveting these gifts, the Spirit will divide to every man severally as he will. You can't grab and say, I want this gift, and I want, it don't work that way. But you got to covet it. You got to want it. You got to desire these things to happen to you. You got to know that God can use you in these gifts. Amen. As he will and when he will. You can't just call him up when you want to call him up, but you got to be willing. You got to be willing. Hallelujah. Paul infers that not every man is going to have all these gifts. Because he said, for to one, not to everybody, for to one is given a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge. These gifts are initiated and operated not by you, not by me, but by the Holy Spirit. But we got to understand that, because we don't see that operating that often in our world anymore, or in our path, or in our circle of influence. So they're not in our mind, but God said, I want to use you. I want to use you. I want these gifts to operate through your life. See, lacking understanding, many people try to operate a gift without the Spirit. However, when they do that, they invariably get into trouble. You'd be surprised the number of people out there trying to operate in these gifts for money. I've seen it. Well, you give me X number of dollars, and I'm gonna tell you what the Lord is saying today for you. No, you need to tell me now for nothing. Amen? Didn't cost you nothing. Why are you going to charge me? See, these are people that's trying to do this on their own. You can't do this on your own. It's got to be the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, operating through your life. Those people are just throwing themselves wide open to what I call satanic deception when they do that. You can't do that. When we get away from the word, Satan will accommodate us. He will. But my point today is just to remind you, listen, that God wants to operate these gifts through you. So you got to have a mindset. You got to have a way of thinking yet that's possible. That's possible. Don't believe just for a moment it's just for certain people in the body of Christ. Now, certain people have certain callings. I agree with that. But God could operate any of these gifts through anybody in here that raised their hand that said that they're saved. Now, Paul went on to say, listen to this. He says, now there are diversities of gifts. See, the word diversity simply means different. That's all it means. In other words, Paul was saying there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, he said, but the same Lord. And differences of operation, but it's same God, which worketh all in all. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 7. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We don't use that word that often. This means that the manifestation of these gifts are given to profit the whole church, not an individual. When I say church, I'm not talking about this little local assembly here. I'm talking about the whole body of God. God has designed these gifts for the whole body. God don't want you sick. Don't mean you won't get sick. He don't want you poor. Come on now. He don't want you confused. He don't want you to be going around in circles not knowing which directions to go. He wants these gifts to be used. Hallelujah. He wants these gifts to be used by his body to edify the rest of the body. And if you're denying him the opportunity to use you, come on, then you're denying yourself a really good thing. God is a good God all the time. Amen. These nine gifts are grouped into three groups. The first group is the gift of utterance. The second group is the gifts of power. And I'm going to come back in a minute and talk about those. And the third group is the gifts of revelation. There are nine gifts. They're nine gifts. Some of these gifts have been operating in your life and you didn't know what they were. You don't know what they were, especially the word of wisdom. God has just dropped things in you. Maybe you were going to a certain place and God just dropped something in your spirit. Said, no, don't go there. They got an accident there or whatever. But you don't know what it is. You just have no idea what it is. Well, God said, I want you to be conscious of what it is. It's just one of those nine gifts operating in your life. I don't know why we don't want to be used. I do know why. I think we just want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it. But listen, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. You're no longer yours anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. You do what God tells you to do. Come on now. You say what God tells you to say. You go where God tells you to go. I can hear some folks saying, I don't know if I'm going to buy all that. Hey, you might want to check what you got. Because that's what it's all about. See, before you got saved, let me tell you something. Before you got saved, I'm going to tell you a secret. Before you got saved, you did what the devil told you to do. Amen. You said what the devil told you to say. Amen. You went where the devil told you to go. Yes. And now all of a sudden you will say, well, that's too much control. I don't think so. Because listen, God never going to lead you astray. Amen. He's never going to ask you to do something or go somewhere or say something that's not going to be beneficial to the body. He's never going to do that. After the day, we need the yarn. Say, God, use me. Give me one of these. Let one of these nine gifts operate through my life. Now, they won't necessarily stay there. all the time, but when you need them, they'll be there. If God wants to use you for that thing. But we just need to wake up to the fact that that's what's supposed to be happening. Now I'm going to tell you now, when these nine gifts start operating through the local bodies here in our geographical area, listen, the community going to wake up.
Amen.
They're going to start seeing some stuff they didn't never see before. One of the things that our community is seeing is the church, you know, having the same problem as the world. And then we're telling them, y'all to come over here, I got it better. And they're saying, how? How? Because you got a suit? How? We need to start showing them. And not making something happen, but letting it happen. By letting God use you as a vessel to operate these gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to talk to you more about them in the upcoming weeks. But let's look at these. What's incorporated in these three groups. First of all, the three gifts that say something are the gifts of utterance. Everybody say utterance.
Utterance.
These are the three gifts. The gifts of prophecy, the gift of diver kinds of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. You see, when God wants you to see what's going to happen in the future, he utilizes this gift of prophecy to operate through somebody to tell you what's going to happen in the future. Because he wants you to be at the right place at the right time, hearing and doing the right thing. And then he gives us this gift of the kinds of tongues. And I really believe that that's just a confirmation for those that don't believe. Because right after that, he gives the gift of interpreting these tongues at the appropriate time. That could happen anytime during our service. Anytime. It doesn't have to be the service, but a lot of time it happens during the service. You know, I could be preaching and all of a sudden God will bring a gift of tongues to any one of you. And I really believe the main thing is to get our attention. And then he'll give another person the gift of interpretation so that we'll all understand what that person was saying. And we call these three gifts the gifts of utterance. The three gifts that do something are what we call the gifts of power. Everybody say power. They are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. See, hallelujah. Remember I tell you a few minutes ago that I knew that I could raise my ex-wife up from death. I knew that. What was happening then, it was that gift of faith operated. I couldn't tell you back then what it was, but I know it now. Remember when Jesus came walking on the water? No. And they had all these disciples in the boat. But Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And what happened to Peter? Listen, that gift of faith entered into Peter. And then a power, an action took place. Peter was actually able to step out of that boat and walk on that water. That was because of his faith. That was because of his faith. Now, we all know the story. We know what happened when he started looking another way and got distracted. What happened? That faith left him, and then he started going down a little bit. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Faith is a powerful thing. Hallelujah. Faith is a powerful thing. With faith, let me tell you, all things are possible with faith. That's a lot of power. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I'm telling you, get in that word. The most important thing in your whole life is to get saturated with that word. Because when you do, you're going to do something you never did before. Because faith is going to rise up in there. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how faith goes. Faith make you do some crazy stuff. Some crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Faith comes by hearing, and not necessarily when he says hearing, it's not necessarily you hearing from reading the word of God. God can just speak to your heart, and his voice will give you faith to do something that you could not do in the natural. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
I told you before, when God spoke to us on the way to Virginia or somewhere, and he told us to buy this building, in the natural. See, I couldn't have had that conversation. I couldn't have called none of you folks and say, at that time, and say, look, God just told me to buy that building. It cost $400,000. Buy that building. I know what would happen. So you've been and called Billy Bob and say, you know what this guy is saying. And then it's going to cost us another $400,000 to fix it up. I don't know if we may have had $10,000 in the bank. I don't know. But it didn't make sense. But his word put the faith in me, and I acted on that faith. That's a gift. Amen. Are you with me? I wish I had that level of faith every day for everything I do, but I don't. But listen, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But when God say, do it, and you hear God, either through his written word or through his vocal word, and you act upon it through faith, something's got to happen. What have you been denying yourself? And God's been telling you to do certain things, but it just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. Now, going along in that car, I told Sister Eva what I heard God say, and we didn't argue about that. We learned not to argue about this stuff. All right, she didn't say, how you going to do that or none of that stuff. You know, we ain't go through all that. You know how we do each other. How you going to do that? We ain't talk about which bank you going to go through. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You know how husband and wives do. One or the other, they always want all the answers. But we've learned when God speaks, don't do that. Don't do that. Because I knew in the natural, wasn't a bank around here going to give me a dime. Are you with me? They weren't about to give me a dime. Wasn't about to give this church a dime. I don't care how many people signed. They weren't going to do it. But when you step out on faith, you realize that God already has a plan. Are you with me? He already has a plan. So here we are 16 years in this building. Never miss a payment. Never. Never had a day late payment. Nothing. Nothing. 16 years. When you had, listen, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to tell you how God wants to work in your life. Amen. And that faith is one of those spiritual gifts. And you won't have it all the time, but when God wants to use it, he'll let it come through you. It could be the gift of faith. It could be something else. Amen. It could be the working of a miracle. It could be whatever, but just believe God. It could be the through the gifts of healing. God said it's time now for us to wake up and let these gifts operate through our lives. Excuse me, through our lives. Come on now. I know that God is thankful that we've been consistent in gathering ourselves together. Amen. On a weekly basis. He wants that to happen, but he wants us to understand, listen, we spend more time outside this building than we do inside this building. So if people are going to see God operate in your life, you're going to have to be willing for these gifts of the Spirit to operate in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. The three gifts that reveal something, remember the first gift. The first gift say something, the second three gifts do something, but the three gifts that reveal something are what we call the gifts of revelations. They are these three gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. Sometimes, listen, sometimes you need a word of knowledge. Sometimes you just need to know something that you just don't know. You just don't know. Let me give you an example of that. I remember in our early days of starting up this ministry back in 93, 94, 95, something like that. You know, we had these two sisters. I think I shared that testimony with you before. But we had these two sisters. And they came to the church or to the church office, and they presented themselves as sisters who were evangelists from Israel. That's what they said. And they were nice enough ladies and whatever. And they just came in and they wanted to be a part of the ministry and all that good stuff. But just something just wasn't right. And I didn't know anything at all about these ladies, nothing, but except what they told me, all right? They were evangelists or missionaries or something from Israel, and they just wanted to help out the ministry. But one day, listen, God just spoke to me. God says, they are not who they are, who they say they are. Because they say they come from Israel. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have any relatives in the area, nothing like that. God says, listen, let me tell you this. Listen, God says, go to Pilesville. Go to this address. Was it Corain? See, that's where I'm married. Amen. Go to Corain. Go to this address. You remember those stories, right? Say, go to this address and you will find out who they are. Now, I don't know those people from nowhere. Don't know anybody in Corain. Was it Corain?
Yeah, it was Corain.
All right, I thought it was Pilesville. But I went to that address where they told me. And I said, listen, I said, I got two ladies from Israel that somehow may be connected to this community. And the person said, well, what's their name? And I told them their name. And they said, yeah, I know them. They were raised up in this neighborhood. Their mama live over here. Their daddy live over here. They got children. How was I supposed to know that? How was I supposed to know that? I needed to know that. Let me tell you why I needed to know that. Because those ladies were about to cause some problems in this ministry. The devil had sent them in there to tear this whole thing down. Because he didn't want you sitting in the seat you're sitting in. So God revealed and gave us a word of knowledge. I didn't know what. You feel stupid doing it. All I got is an address. I'm going knocking on somebody's door. Send. But when I did, everything was revealed. Everything was revealed to us. Everything. Now the funny part about that, listen to me. Listen, the sister that was an aggressive one, we called a meeting for her at the church office. We used to be in the office down there where the hearing aid people are right now. And we called a meeting the next night or whatever. We called a meeting and we invite her in and we was all smiles with her and all that good stuff. And we took her to the second room in the building and we locked the front door. We locked the front door. And then we sat down and started talking to her. And I said, I don't know. God already gave us a word of knowledge, who she is and what she's all about. But I sat her down. I said, listen, we done found out some stuff. You told us you don't know nobody. Your mama live here. Your daddy live here. You got children. The lady went off. She went off. Got the cursing and screaming and stuff and went off. Ran to the door and the door was locked. I don't even want to tell you what she said about that door. Amen. Well, what's your point, preacher? My point is that, listen, we were just innocent folks trying to do good. Amen. But the devil was trying to destroy us at the beginning of this thing. And God said, no, what you need now is a word of knowledge. Amen. Now, listen to me now, because I want you to live this thing. What would have happened had I not acted on the word of knowledge? It would have been a mess. But because I knew it was God, because I didn't know nobody's address, and I acted up on it, and then that situation got resolved. Never saw them again. Never saw them again. Never heard of them, never saw them again. And God will do that for you. This is not just about coming in here and a message and singing a few songs and giving a little money. This is not. You're in the body of Christ. And God wants to use you. Hallelujah. So those last three gifts that reveal are the word of wisdom. Sometimes you just need the wisdom to make decisions that's beyond you. Amen. And God will give you that word of wisdom when it's needed. And then the word of knowledge, like I just talked about. And then there's the discerning of spirits. Sometimes God, and that's what God had given me before. He had given me a discerning of spirits with these ladies. Something wrong here. Something wrong in their spirits. Something's wrong here. And God will do that. See, these gifts are listed. Listen to me. And I'm about to close on this, but these gifts are listed in the order of importance. Of the three gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom, according to the word, is the best gift. Not that you can choose. It just comes that way. Of the three gifts of power, the gift of faith is the best gift. Of the three gifts of utterance, the gift of prophecy, according to the word of God, is the best gift. Of course, the best gift in any situation is the gift that is most needed at the time. Amen. Are you with me? Boy, did I need a word of knowledge. You guys don't understand. Amen? We were just brand new, didn't know nothing. Not basically, just trying to do good. Just innocent folks. And you think the devil won't come into your house and try to do something? But God will use one of these gifts to reveal to you, amen, to activate you, to motivate you, to get you on the right course. I want you to remember that first verse from 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." God don't want us to be ignorant of these things. Hallelujah. God's about, hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's about to do some things. He's about to do some things to shake up the environment. Amen. He's about, hallelujah. He's about, I'll watch what I say to you. He's about to do some things to shake up the environment. Are you willing to let him use you? Yes. Hallelujah. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. And the next few weeks, maybe 8 or 9 weeks, we're gonna break these things down and just give you a little bit more information about it. But it's time. Look at somebody and say, it's time.
It's time.
Hallelujah. 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 You know, when you go into the military, they throw you into boot camp for a while. Most of the time, it's like 10 to 12 weeks long. Just training you, getting you ready. But then at the end of that, they have a little parade, and then it's time. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. I want to announce to you today that, look, your boot camp is over.
It's over.
Amen. If you've been sitting here for the last 24 months or whatever, at least a year or so, your boot camp is over.
Amen.
It's over, okay? It's over. Now it's time for you to go to work. Now it's time for you to let God use you.
Amen.
It's over. It's over. It's over. Those deacons at the nursing home are going to start seeing some things that you guys just couldn't even imagine. And God's going to start using you. Let him use you.
Amen.
Just let him use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just love you and we just adore you. You've heard the words that I've shared with your people, Father, today. Yes. Father, only you know the time and the place and the situation, Lord God, where you will activate any one of these 9 gifts in the lives of your people. Let them be ready. Let them be prepared. Let them not be fearful. Let them not be, hallelujah, doubtful, Lord God. Let them just be able to take a step of faith,
yes, Lord,
and just act upon whatever it is you give them, Lord. Father, use us.
Yes, Lord.
Use us all. Use us all. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.